Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Mary. Hi, all. How you doing? Hi, all. How are you doing? Yes. My sobriety date is January 2nd, 1997, and my home group is Lovely Ladies, Friday night, 7:30 at 10th and Powell. So, yes, steps 8 and 9. I'd like to just backtrack 1 second, and that is to say, with these steps 8 and 9, as well as those of 6 and 7 last week, I want to impress that, frankly, all these steps are forever steps. And there is no absolute timetable for completing these ones. But as long as we're aware that it is our responsibility to practice them consistently as to give us the life, the good life that we do deserve. So these two steps are the final phase in the clearing away, clearing our way as we are committed to in step 3. We're making amends, which is identifying what needs to be changed in ourselves and to repair the negative effects of our behavior on others and the world that we have affected. This step 8 is made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Amends in Alcoholics Anonymous means change in 2 ways. One, for myself in my rehabilitation, which means not only for me to stop my injurious behavior of myself and of others, but to also acknowledge the good, that I'm growing, that I'm changing, that I am truly choosing to rehab all of my life. Secondly, and where we are tonight is in others' restoration. I am willing to change and to be changed so that I will not create the chaos in the world around me. And I'm willing to clean up the mess, the negative impact that all of my destructive behavior has wrought. As we remember in the introduction of step 3, we read, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. We have 2 motives for intense study on these steps. One, found in the Big Book, page 77, quote, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Our second reason is that we're trying to put our lives back in some semblance of order in dealing with our own alcoholism. The spiritual virtue that we're working with here in step 8 is self-discipline. Isn't that a tall order for a bunch of drunks? Self-discipline. We need rules. No. We need boundaries is what we really need. The 12 and 12 suggests he first backtracks and really makes an accurate and unsparing survey of the human wreckage he's left in his wake. To a degree, he has already done this when taking moral inventory, but now is the time. The time has come when he ought to redouble his efforts to see how many people he has hurt and in what ways. Also, in the 12 and 12 is a wonderful definition of harm. Harm, in a practical way, means the result of instincts in collision, which may cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to people. Remember when we talked about step 4 and in that third column, the long list of security, and all of those attributes of those instincts, that they really are what kicks us into destructive choices, actions. That's where we begin to spin. In the Big Book, in page 76, we do have our marching orders concerning this step. Now we need more action. without which we find that faith without works is dead. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. That list that we're referencing in this step is those people who were on our fourth step inventory. Those that we had resentments with, fears about, and that we harmed in any way. Remember back to that, to the fourth step inventory. Column one, who we've hurt. Column two, what we perceive they've done to us. We vividly see how our instincts are affected in column three. And again, that's where we begin to spin out of balance. Setting aside all perceived harm that they may or may not have caused us. In column four, we understand how we reacted to them and how now, where we stand at step eight, we are willing to take full responsibility for these character defects in these steps. Being willing to make amends means being ready to take to do whatever it takes to make things right. Why, you may ask, does it matter if I detail what I did to them? Because the answer is, the more in-depth knowledge that we have of ourselves and our relationship to these people on these lists, the more that we see how involved we were, and the more willing then we are to make good and to make those amends. So for those who have been around, who have been along on this ride with me since step one, you'll remember that the major incident that got me to stay here started in September of 96, when I had suffered a terrible attack from somebody that I trusted, that I loved, and that I respected. And I chose to keep that a secret. It burned a hole in me. It killed me, it felt like, from the inside out. And yet, there was a silver lining to it and a blessing, because that is what spurred me to get back into this program, and it is what was the incident that made it easier for me to get here and stay here. But it was years till I was able to move past that incident. I held on tightly to that resentment about and the fear of this person, and also the harms that I caused myself because of keeping it a secret. All of my instincts were affected by that incident. And I had a part in it, because I spoke to this person in a aggressive and assertive way, which incited the attack. But I had to deal with what was continuing to hurt me. And this step was finally the way that I could do that. In looking at this step and studying our list, we ask, haven't we already been making a lot of progress in wanting to act rightly? Yes. Yes, we have been acting intently and intentionally. But this step doubles down on our willingness for the most vigorous of action steps, that of step nine, that of making an honest, sincere, face-to-face apology to the people that we're pretty sure aren't very happy with us, and to do it in a humble and gracious way. Oh, it's easy to postpone or delay or have excuses why I don't want to start step eight. Because we think we may not be willing to make amends to certain people because we resent them so much. You may not even be ready to pray for that willingness to offer certain people an amend because you can't even imagine having any compassion for them. Those names need to be on this list. As it always takes two to tango, you had a part in having that resentment, that fear, or that harm that was on your initial list. The truth is that forgiving someone who hurt us may mean swallowing our pride, but unfortunately, not forgiving that person costs us an emotional and spiritual toll on our freedom. We'll be up against that guilt and the remorse repeatedly, and those emotions will continue to fester, and they will produce more fear. It's a rolling ball of fear, anxiety, depression, and we could possibly put ourselves in harm's way to drink again. We've come this far. We need to have action. This step forms the base of all future relationships with ourselves and others. If we can let go of our previous hurts to others and forgive them their hurts to us, we can begin this new facet of sobriety. Possibly there are names on your list that you should not make amends to, because to do so would injure them or others. Those names still need to be on your list. Your sponsor will guide you in that decision. The decision will be made as to what type of amend and if it is to be made at all. And no matter what, you need to be willing to make that amend. And remember also to put your own name on that list, knowing that the way we make amends to ourselves is a constant, ongoing process of stopping that irresponsible and self-destructive behavior. But we still need to have our own name on there. Making amends is truly sacred work. It brings healing, emotional and spiritual, to both parties. Step 9 needs to be prepared for by rigorous honesty, a spirit of humility, and a compassionate attitude. Even though step 8 is only half a paragraph long in the big book, it is a mighty powerful step as it revs us up with the gift of willingness and self-discipline in helping us to further get right in the world. So, on to step 9, where we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. The big book tells us the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Now is the time to make amends. And why? Why is this step important? The spiritual virtue for step 9 is love for others. We're needing to take responsibility for the harm we have caused, and to learn how to be caring and loving. We need to work at cultivating those caring emotions, because God knows we weren't very good at that while we were out there. Amend has two connotations, change and repair. Change means making a commitment to a consistent effort for different behavior. I'm willing to change, and I realize that I'm powerless to do it. At the same time, I am responsible to do it. For the courage to face the amends that need to be made, in the big book, we're offered help in asking that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. No matter what the personal consequences may be, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Repair means to make a commitment to correct the wrongs done to others, to repair the damage, to make reparation, to bring healing to those who hurt, who we hurt. This requires courage and humility, tact and common sense, and a helpful and forgiving spirit. The big book suggests we pray for willingness. I think we've been with this whole praying for willingness a whole lot. Seems to be a common theme through who we become. It adds to our sense of surrender. It suggests also that meditation can be a tool to approach this step. Quote, so we clean house, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. One of the most difficult amends to make is always to someone who we genuinely don't like. And whether we like it or not, we must proceed. In the Big Book, page 77. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth, just like a horse. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In addition, if our amend involves repayment of money, we need to make accommodations for that with direct contact wherever possible. Dr. Bob, one of the co-founders of AA, learned the hard way that he couldn't stay sober until he made his amends. In the Big Book, page 156, we read about his ninth step. One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. At midnight, he came home, exhausted, but very happy, and he has not had a drink since. Like Bob, as for us, this step is the epitome of courage, which is, remember, the mastery of fear, not the absence of it. Now, it is doubtful that your sponsor is going to advocate that you go out and make these amends in a 24-hour period. So don't get at all upset about that. It is a process that must be on God's time. We do what we can to set that relationship right and surrender the outcomes. Step 8 and 9 are a way that we can put things back into our lives that we need. A relationship with God and a nurturing relationships with other people. But we're not making these amends to get people to like us. We need to always check our motives. If we worry too much about the other person's response, whether they'll be grateful or tearful or angry, then we might lose sight of the real intention of this step, which is to focus on our responsibility in this relationship. In the ninth step, our only obligation is to take the action we think is right and let go of the outcome. In addition, timing of the amend is also important. As I found out, for the person who had beat me up, I was ready well before I ever got to this step in making an amend to him. I knew what my part had been, and I knew what had triggered him. And I was willing to absolutely admit all of it. And so I remember writing letters, and I would pass them by my sponsor, and she'd say, yes, I see clearly here that you're very responsible, but now's not the right time. And then a while later, I'd come back and say, you know what? I'm just going to call him. I think it's time. I just wanted to be able to check this box off. I wanted to be able to get out of underneath this. No, I don't think so. This isn't the right time. She told me that I'd been pushing God's timeline if I was to do that. So I never sent the letters, and I never made the calls, and I just waited. I know God will help us when we ask for that willingness. He will help us with the opportunity. Our reliance upon God is absolutely essential if we're to outgrow these fears that have separated us from the one who has all power. The big book tells us, although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. We're back to that key of willingness. And if we're willing, we can wait until the time is right. So I continued to trust my sponsor and my higher power. And when the time came, it was definitely designated by God. I went to visit my mom unannounced one day. And as I went up the stairs, I looked in the front window, and on the table was a hat and a pair of glasses, sunglasses, and a bottle of wine. And I didn't know of anyone that she was expecting a visitor from. And so as I, in my usual bull in a china shop, I rush right in to see who's there. And don't I come face to face with my attacker. I had not seen my brother in a number of years. I had not taken any calls from him. I lived with my mom, or my mom lived with me in the winter, and I lived with her in the summer. And of course, he called. He called often. And I would just walk that little phone right over to her. I was polite if I had to speak to him. And there he was, standing there in my mother's living room. And I can't tell you the shock that I felt. I was shaking. And I wondered, is this what my sponsor meant when she said that this amend was supposed to be made on God's time? Because why wasn't I privy to this? He had hitched a ride with a friend of his who was a private pilot who was coming out of Missouri and was coming to Erie to meet with someone. And he knew that my brother had family here. And he said, hey, you want to hitch a ride? So my brother actually flew in for the weekend. Okay, God, that's pretty incredible. That's pretty right now, isn't it? I shake when I think about it. So I was polite, and I said, hey, can we talk tomorrow? I went home. I didn't sleep. I was just praying, please God, let me know the right things to say. Let this not be about me. I had rehearsed and gone over this amend for years. The next day, I went down and I said, let's take a walk. And so we did. And we didn't get very far from my mom's house when I explained to him that I wanted to make my apologies for any pain that I had caused him in what had happened between the two of us years previous. And the truth is, we have no control over how another person is going to respond to the amends that we make. And he blew up, screaming, yelling at me, gyrating gestures, just my father all over the place. And he was yelling at me because he was justifying his choices and his actions the night of that attack. and why he had, why what I had said and all the different words. He broke my sentence down. One sentence I'd said to him. Broke it down, and oh, he was justified. And then how rude I had been to him in all these years that I hadn't spoken to him, and he'd called, and you know, I always passed the phone off. It was incredible. But I felt like the Holy Spirit just totally descended on me. I know exactly where I was in space and time to this moment. I know where I was standing. And the Holy Spirit just allowed me to watch this person be crazy in front of me. And it was all okay. We walked back to the house. And he said, "Oh, I'm just so glad that we finally resolved this. Now I can tell my wife that everything's good between us." And I remember stopping. He only stands about yay tall. I remember where I stood, and I said, "I did this because I needed to say I'm sorry for whatever I might have caused you. But this is an amend that I've made between me and you. It does not extend to your wife." It was 2.5 years till I was able to make that amend to her. And also, it was God-given. We were at a family reunion, and I thought, okay, of course I'm going to have this opportunity to talk with her. We went for lunch, and I'm a big personality, but she's even bigger than me. Smaller, but bigger personality. And I've always been slightly intimidated by her. And so we had lunch, and the elephant was sitting right in the middle of the table between us. Just small talk. I kept thinking, okay, God, all right, I'm waiting for the message to be able to speak my truth. We went shopping afterwards, and we were in a little town, and they had these houses that had shops in them, and we went into this holiday shop, and we're buzzing around, and we ended up in this one room. I had come from one area of the little house, and she'd come from another area, and we're standing in what was the living room, probably, and there's a couch there full of pillows, and the inscription on one of those pillows that was right in the very middle said, "Sisters are friends forever." It did it. We both collapsed into each other's arms, just crying and apologizing, and how many years we had lost between us, and how sorry she was, and I was all about it. And I'm thinking to myself, and we're there's all these people in this store, and I know, I could see, I was almost viewing myself from above, but I knew that this was not a human happening. This was a God happening. I had waited long enough. I had done my work. I was ready to accept these amends and to offer them. Amazing, amazing, sorry. Quite a while after all this happened, my brother called. And he said how awesomely impressed he was that I had said I was sorry, and how embarrassed he'd been for his reaction to that. And all the rest of what he said was that he'd learned a lot from that whole interaction between us. You know, there's not much that you can say in addition to something like that. But thank you. Thank you. And I'm very close to him today. He's back to being a trusted, loved, and respected person in my world. I talk to him a couple times a month. I visit him. The reason I postponed that I was later in starting all of this was I was visiting him. Because, you know, it's important. He's family. And I felt like I had lost a lot of time, but there was no way that it would have been right for me to have shorted or done anything sooner than what had happened. So, again, We're supposed to put ourselves on this list of amends to be given. Recovery is, of course, the living amends that we make to ourselves. We act responsibly and our lives become easier. By working these steps, by being of service, it gives us a chance to live differently, and we begin to heal the harms that we have done to our self-esteem, our self-confidence, our physical bodies, and most of all, our relationships. For me, as an overachiever, I amend to myself continually by letting go of my need to do the most and be the best of everything. It's one of those things that I have to be aware of and lay down. It's that's the way I can make an amend to myself. The completion of steps 8 and 9 is the culmination of the action steps. And now we're ready to receive the promises. The promises are those things that we chased in our addictions and in our alcoholism. We just wanted those promises so much, but we couldn't find the pathway to getting them. And now we have removed the blocks that we had in front of the God of our understanding. And we're able to stand in the sunlight of the Spirit. And as that promise offers us, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And we can be free. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. So now we have time for questions and answers. If you're on Zoom, just go ahead and speak up whenever you have the opportunity. If you're here in the room, raise your hand and we'll bring you the microphone. Who wants to get us started?
Awesome as always, Mary. Thank you. If you have a sponsee that you're working with and that person has a number of amends to make, which clearly are going to take a while because you have to do it carefully and thoughtfully, do you continue to work the steps, the 10, 11, and 12, while they're still working on their amends? Do you stop working on the steps so they can spend their time and energy on making the amends? I mean, how do you do that process?
Thanks, Paige. Good question. The amends are forever. They're an ongoing process. I would never tell someone, okay, now this is where we have to be for this long until it's all done. No, because 10, 11, and 12 is definitely, as they mature and as they work those maintenance steps, it's going to help them become stronger, be able to better stand in their own self to be able to make those amends. We can keep talking about making those amends, but no, there should never be a halting of the process. It needs to be ongoing into those 10, 11, and 12.
Jim alcoholic. So I was sitting here thinking about this and thinking about this. I thought, well, I might as well just say something. So on the amends with your brother, the amount of time that you had thought about it and written these letters and all that stuff, and I'm glad that it was the perfect time when you did make the amends. But in that course of time, or maybe a different sponsor, couldn't it have been possible for that sponsor to say, you know, Mary, you better take care of this or you're going to get drunk, and that amends be made sooner, and maybe that would have been the perfect time also? Like, maybe, like, when the time is right, the time is right? I mean, that's it.
God knows that I tried to force her hand. I really did not want to be with this. But in hindsight, she said that this was so deep, and it, for me, it was so all-encompassing. My whole family had been involved in what had gone on. I had kept it a secret but not after the fact, that for that long, especially after I got into the program. I was able to share with my mom briefly what had happened. I finally told my husband. Yes, I could have, but I it was important to me to honor her for her knowledge of when was going to be the right time. I had pretty well, by this time, finished all my other amends, and this was the one that was hanging out there. And she checked in often with me. How are you? How you doing? You angry still? And you know what? I was past angry. I was past all those intense emotions. I had already forgiven. I was already in that okay space. So for me to wait until the time was right, I mean, that's pretty incredible that God flew him into Erie to talk to me. I mean, I who could have imagined that? Or found the right pillow to encounter my sister-in-law in that room. I mean, you know in my heart, sure, I could have done it earlier. You know, and we did talk about me going to visit him, but the idea of going into his space with his wife, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't go visit. And you know, we hadn't seen him in all these years. He had called all the time, but he had not come to Erie. So, yes, I could have done something different, but I didn't, and I now know why. Thanks.
Who else has a question?
Hi, Mary. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Thank you for your presentation this evening. My apologies for being late.
Never late.
Right, Jim? Anyway, so what I'm hearing is making an amends, perhaps it's important to be in person with the person you're making an amends to so that the human connection can be made. That's what I'm kind of gathering by the way you're described how maybe your sponsor wanted you to wait. And I'm thinking about that because I did not make any amends by phone or by letters. It was in person, but I had that opportunity because the people were nearby. So what I'm hearing is that what I'm deducing from the way you've presented this is that perhaps the eye-to-eye contact and the human presence may have a great contribution to the emotion or the acceptance or the aura or whatever of making an amends. I wonder what your thoughts were.
Thanks, Bridget. I was encouraged to do all my amends, as many as I could, face to face. I had to make an amend to my father, who had already passed, and so I wrote a letter and I cried over it and I tucked it in to his gravestone at the cemetery. And yet, again, I'd already felt like I'd forgiven myself, and I knew that he'd already forgiven me. So there are times that we can't do face-to-face. The people are gone. But I think that it's really important, as often as we most definitely can, in the face-to-face. I think you're right. That eye-to-eye contact, the leveling of the ego, of walking through the fear, I think it's all part of that knowing that God's guiding us and God's walking with us. Our higher power is with us. Thanks, Bridget.
Anyone on Zoom have a question?
I do.
Hi, Jason, alcoholic. You previously had mentioned that you go through the steps, rather frequently, maybe once a year or something like that. How do you handle doing the amends, you know, after you've already given them? Are you kind of checking in with them and giving amends to them again? Are you giving amends to other people, things that have happened sort of since the last time, or people you didn't make amends to before? How are you handling doing those steps when you've already done the steps before?
Yes. For anybody new on my list, there's always new people. Some of them, I don't even know. I mean, there are people that I shout not nice things to on the streets sometimes. You know, I'm not, and again, those are amends that I'm going to make to myself. I seem to always be on my own lists. You know, the people that I know that I live with, that there is constant, you know, those, that's when immediate amends are made. Like when it's done, and I'm at night, I'm looking through, I'm feeling things, and the spot check amends that are made. You know, when I mouth off to my husband, or I tell him something that I probably shouldn't have said quite in the way that I did, I can offer an amend. And you know, I'm taking responsibility for when I'm not the person that I want to be. And you know, I don't have that many people anymore on my lists. They're my usual characters, not unusual characters, but usual characters. And you know, I living amends. They're people that are close to me, so they get the nice Mary then. Is that answer that? Great.
Thanks, Mary. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Greg.
Hey, Greg.
I guess my question for you is, I remember my sponsor talking to me about financial amends, too. I didn't hear much about that in your message there, but I know it's toe and toe. And I thought I was going to be getting off the hook myself and through some of this, you know, for myself when I was in the amends step. And he said that for me... And it really threw me for a loop, which was, we're going to figure out some community service hours. You know, and I looked at him like, are you freaking nuts? You know, and, you know, but I understand that today more than I did at that time, you know, because that was my thinking of with the disease still running rampant in my head, you know, even though I was working steps and, you know, I still had that alcoholic way of wanting to combat, go after life, you know, and get away from things. And so what would you have to say about something like that?
Yeah, the other amends that are needed. The financial, I never really had that. That's why it didn't, other than I know that we need to do that. I mean, I've heard stories of payment plans being made. I've also heard the idea of community service, and I've heard, you know that you hurt someone by stealing from them, you can't find them, then donate money in their name or donate to a cause. It's again that leveling of pride, and it's humbling ourselves to know that If a hurt has happened, we need to find a way to make it right. And it sometimes we can't do it directly. But that was a very good question. Thanks, Greg.
Carolyn, alcoholic.
Hi, girl.
Hi, Carolyn.
Thanks, Mary, as usual, to serve great explanation for us. My question is this. When I did my first four step a long time ago, there was no direction in the book or from my sponsor about putting me on the list, nor did that carry through then to steps 8 or 9. I've always considered, you know, staying sober and doing the best I can on my steps and in AA as, I guess, an amend. But where did that idea come from for you?
It came from my one sponsor that took me through the Joe McHugh books. And I shared that when I did 4 and 5, is that I got all the way through it, and she said, and where are you in all of this? And I was stymied. I was shocked. I was surprised that I hadn't even considered the harms, the resentments, and the fears that I had that were about me, about myself. And I did a 10 step on it. You know, I went back through and was able to see it. I was sure after that that every fourth step I did, I was on there, on my resentment page. I'm the first one. Because I, you know, there's times that I just think that I am just not a great person, and that I need to take an honest accounting of my choices and actions, and that I may have hurt other people. And God knows that I have fears that sometimes overwhelm me, that I'm overcome by. So yeah, she's the one who said, where are you? All these other people, because I had a novel. I had a big, long list, and nowhere was I. So she helped me know that I did belong there. Thank you. You're welcome.
Anyone else? Last chance.
Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate it. Could you just, we got 3 whole minutes, so, you know, God forbid we keep us 1 minute over, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, anyway, living amends. You know, you hear that all the time about different things. Could you give me an example of what's, for yourself, what you're doing for, like, living amends?
Well, my living amends are a constant. When I am working at being honest, I have a living amend going on that I am conscious of that. This also plays very well into my prayer and meditation time. Living amends for myself, that's where I get to know what I need to do, is when I sit quietly with the God of my understanding. And I get to know, oh, yes, you know, you crossed that person off, and, you know, my living amends are to people in myself trying to be a decent human being. That's the living amend that I work with. Being that I work in the public, I get my button pushed really easy and really often. And so my living amend is, how can I be more patient? Patient, loving, considerate, kind, and mean it. So when living amend, I'm trying to do better than I did before. To me, that's what my living amend is.
Thank you, Mary.
Next week, I invite you back, and we'll discuss any experience with Step 10. Do we have any other announcements from